Okay, our second reading is from Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 30. It's Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 30. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of our Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. If you don't know me, my name's Alex. I'm a member of the church family here. And I've got the pleasure of looking at this passage that we've just had read for us with you this morning. Before I do that, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the many blessings and privileges that we have. That we have your word in a language we can understand. That we have a place to meet. That we have the freedom to do that in safety, without fear. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to make the most of this time together by enjoying our fellowship together, by enjoying hearing from you. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us from your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts. We pray that you'd show us great truths about yourself and about your kingdom this morning that spur us on to love you and live for you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Christmas is coming, isn't it? The children are practicing their play for next week. The tree is up. Perhaps you've got your tree up at home. It's the most wonderful time of the year, as they say. Well, I wonder what makes Christmas special for you. Everybody has their favourite parts. I asked a youth group at another church last Tuesday, and I got all the predictable answers. The Christmas tree, the Christmas dinner, the presents. Perhaps for some of us, it's time with family that we don't see very often. Or a glass of sherry. Or simply some time off work. Well, my hope for today is that as we get stuck into God's word, we'll all discover things that make Christmas seem even more special. Because as we look at this passage, and as we've been looking at Mark's record of Jesus' life over the last few weeks, the question to ask is, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? All the way through, as we've been looking at Mark's gospel, he's been encouraging us to ask that question, recounting the things that Jesus did and taught, from the kind of simple, basic things like going away and finding a quiet place to pray, to the more remarkable events, like the miracle in today's passage. But Mark never leaves us to doubt what our conclusion should be. Because right back at the start of his account, in chapter 1, verse 1, Mark said, "This was the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, who was promised by the prophets long before he arrived in a manger in Bethlehem." The good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And we're going to see some more aspects of that good news today. And in the first few verses, we see that Jesus has compassion for the worker. Now, what's been going on? Jesus has been going around all the villages and all the towns, preaching, healing, and explaining the kingdom of God. And he's caused quite a stir. Some people saw these things and were amazed at what he did and what he said. And then others were just offended. And so the news about this controversial figure spread fast. But Jesus didn't travel alone. He appointed 12 people to go with him. And to start with, they just accompanied. They watched on as Jesus taught and healed. But then they were sent out in pairs to do the same thing themselves. So they went off preaching about Jesus, teaching and healing and driving out evil spirits. And just like Jesus, they drew attention wherever they went. Some were amazed, others were offended. But the question would always have been, where does this power and authority come from? Who is this Jesus that you're teaching about? And now, as we look at our passage, at verse 30, we see that these 12 people, called disciples or apostles, are regrouping for a catch-up with Jesus. Verse 30 says, "The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught." We went to this town and everybody was amazed at what we told them about the kingdom of God. We healed a man with leprosy and we told a whole crowd about the kingdom of God. How it's like a mustard seed, just like you said, Jesus. Well, we went to this place and nobody wanted to listen. And so we just shook the dust off our feet and left. It's been a busy time for these 12 guys. And now they meet with Jesus in this bustling place where so many people are coming and going that they don't even have time to eat. And Jesus can see that they're tired. He can see that they're hungry, that they need rest. And so he says to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." How often God's workers forget that throughout the Bible, he has called them to rest. The Lord even set aside a day for his people to be refreshed, both physically and in their relationship with him. And now Jesus pulls his disciples away and says, "Come with me by yourselves and rest." Is that a word from Jesus that you need to hear this morning? Perhaps you've been working really hard for God recently. You've put in extra hours at work or around the home, raising children, caring for sick relatives, or taking on extra responsibilities at church. Or was J.C. Ryle right 150 years ago when he said, "There are few in the Church of Christ who need these admonitions. There are few in danger of overworking themselves and injuring their own bodies and souls by excessive attention to others. The vast majority of professing Christians are indolent and slothful and do nothing for the world around them. There are few comparatively who need the bridle so much as the spur." "Yet," said Ryle, "these few ought to lay to heart the lessons of this passage." So I suppose there are two questions to ask ourselves here. The first is a question to ask ourselves individually. A question for me. And it's this. Am I working so hard for God's kingdom that Jesus might need to say this to me? In my workplace, or in church, or in my neighborhood, in my home? Am I working so hard for God's kingdom that Jesus might need to call me aside to rest? But that's not necessarily the question we should be asking of other people. I mean, we've been out without a vicar for a number of months now, and so many people in our church family have given of themselves to bridge the gap until that post is filled. Some quite visibly, preaching and leading services, but many more doing lots of work behind the scenes. So perhaps now, more than ever, the question that we might ask of other people in our church family is this. Are they working so hard for the gospel that I need to remind them of Christ's call to spend time with him and to rest? Do I need to remind them of Christ's call to spend time with him and rest? Because Jesus has compassion for his workers. And as we go on, we see that he also has compassion for the lost. Take a look with me at verse 32. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So Jesus and the 12 are trying to find somewhere to chill out for a bit, somewhere to eat their packed lunches after a busy time. They get in a boat to row off to a quiet spot, but the locals spot them. And by now, everybody recognizes this lot from a mile off. You know, if it was the modern day, they'd have been all over Facebook, popping up on your timeline. You'd have been getting emails about them. You'd have seen them on the news. Back then, people used to talk to each other, so that's how the news was spread. Everybody recognized this lot. And so they start running after them around the edge of the lake. How would you have felt if you were in that boat? I know what I'd have been thinking. Why don't they just leave us alone and give us some peace? We haven't eaten. We need a rest. But not Jesus. Do we see in verse 34? When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looked at the huge crowd of people and saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you've ever lived in a rural area, you'll have seen the odd stray sheep at some point. They wander down the middle of country lanes, unaware that a car might fly around the corner at any moment. They get stuck in fences, trying to squeeze through to the next field, where the grass is that little bit greener. And they get lost. I read a story this week of one sheep who'd been lost for 6 years. And when it was found, its wool had grown so much it couldn't even move. It's a true story. Sheep without a shepherd are lost. They're helpless. Jesus had compassion on this crowd because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That was his view of this crowd who chased him around the lake. And it's his view of people today. How often we can be like one of these sheep, longing for guidance, seeking direction, feeling helpless in our circumstances. Perhaps the bills start racking up and the overdraft is at its limit. Perhaps we've lost important friends or loved ones, whether it's to illness or to some place far away. Perhaps you go day after day feeling lonely or afraid or insecure or inadequate. And as much as you try to find comfort and assurance in things like money or your friends or status or even just a daily routine, these things come and go. They get interrupted. And ultimately, they let us down. And so, we, just like this crowd, are like sheep without a shepherd. Where can I turn? What can I do? How long will it be like this? When will I feel secure again? Well, if you ever feel like that, then the wonderful news is that Jesus is full of compassion for people like you and me. Full of love. Full of care. He had compassion on them, not because they were winning at life, but because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so what did he do? He had compassion on them, and so he began teaching them many things. What he taught them, we're not told. But there are clues, because in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And a few chapters later, we found his disciples teaching much the same thing when they went off in their pairs. Mark 6, verse 12, they went out and preached that people should repent. That people should turn away from their reliance on the money and power and status and relationships that never deliver on what they promise. And back to the God who loves them. Back to Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, who was promised by the prophets, who took on human flesh And who has compassion on them? Because they're like sheep without a shepherd. The things of this world run out. They disappear. They let us down. Ultimately, they will never satisfy. But in Jesus, we see there is satisfaction for all. And in the rest of our passage, he does something astounding to demonstrate it. Let's pick up the story at verse 35. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." So basically, what Jesus' disciples are saying is this. "Look, Jesus, it's been a long day. You're really good at this teaching, Lark. I mean, loads of people have come to hear you, and we're pretty impressed too. But you clearly don't have the gift of organization. Look at all these people. They've followed you here, and they've got no food. And we've still not even had a chance to get that rest you promised us. Send them off to eat." But Jesus answers, "You give them something to eat." Now, what must have gone through the disciples' minds at that point? "Jesus, there are thousands of them. We can't afford to buy that much bread. We're missionaries, not bankers." And when Jesus asks how much food they've got in their backpacks, well, presumably it's the lunch they never got to eat. 5 loaves and 2 fish. So what does Jesus do? Give in? Send them off to the villages? Go to the crowd and say, "Look, sorry guys, you're going to have to find food for yourselves. I think there's a Subway down the road in that village there." Does he send the crowd away to fend for themselves? No. We never have to fend for ourselves when we come to Jesus. Because he is the source of salvation and the source of satisfaction. So in verse 39, Jesus told them to make all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. He handed his disciples the bread, and they would take it from him and take it to one of these groups on the green grass. And then they came back and he gave them some more. And then they came back and he gave them some more. And the bread kept coming, and it kept coming, and it kept coming. And they handed it out to group after group, and it never seemed to end. And we're told that 5,000 men, and presumably a load of women and children too, all ate and were satisfied. And there was plenty left over. 12 baskets of it. Not long ago, these people were like lost sheep. They'd found no compassion in wealth. They'd found no sustenance in human relationships. They found no guidance in popular culture or even in the religious teaching of the day. No compassion, no sustenance, no guidance. But they found all of these things when they came to Jesus. They all ate and were satisfied. Now, as I was preparing this talk, a whole host of Old Testament passages came to mind. And it reminded me of a time I was once out and about on a university campus in London, and I was asking students questions about their faith and about what they thought of Jesus. And I remember speaking to one Muslim guy who said this, "Why do you Christians have 2 testaments? You've got this old one and this new one. What was wrong with the old one? And how do you know the new one is any better?" Well, what that guy hadn't realized is that the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together perfectly as the 2 acts of the great drama that's God's plan for the world. And today's passage shows us that. We don't have time to explore all the Old Testament passages that are echoed here, but I'm very quickly going to run through 3 of them. Because first of all, there's Ezekiel 34, where God looked down at the way his people were being treated by their leaders. Leaders who were described as shepherds who took no care of the flock. In fact, God said, "My flock lacks a shepherd. So I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel." In the Old Testament, God promised to be a shepherd to his people. And in the New, Jesus came as that good shepherd. Another passage I thought of was Psalm 23, where David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." That's what David wrote in the Old Testament. And here in the New, much later, we see Jesus sat thousands down on the green grass and fed them until they were all satisfied. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." And finally, the third passage was read for us by Hannah. Exodus 16. God had done a mighty work to rescue his people from slavery in Egypt. But then they found themselves in the wilderness, and they were hungry. And amidst their moaning and grumbling, God told them that he would provide for them. And that evening, quail came down and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of thin flakes on the floor. And it was the bread that the Lord had provided, the bread of heaven. And every one of the people gathered just as much as they needed. That first day, the next day, and every day, apart from Sundays or Saturdays, for 40 years, until they reached a land that would sustain them. In the Old Testament, God saved his people and then satisfied them in the desert with the bread of heaven. And in the New, Jesus fed 5,000 people with the bread in heaven. They all ate and were satisfied. And we can find that same compassion, that same salvation, that same satisfaction if we hear Jesus teaching, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Who is this Jesus? He's the good shepherd who comforts, who saves, and who satisfies. It's easy to think we'll be satisfied with turkey and tinsel this Christmas, with Christmas trees, with piles of presents. But nothing makes Christmas more special than knowing Jesus. Than knowing the Son of God, who left his throne in heaven to live amongst us, to teach us about the kingdom of God, to show us compassion through all our struggles, to save us and to satisfy us. That's something worth running around the edge of a lake for, isn't it? Now, that's something worth giving up everything for. Let's make sure we come to Jesus this Christmas. Let me pray. Father God, thank you so much that the kingdom of God came near when Jesus stepped down from his throne in heaven to a manger in Bethlehem. We thank you that he is the good shepherd who seeks and saves us when we're like lost sheep. Thank you that if we repent and believe this good news, that if we come to Jesus, we can find compassion, salvation, and satisfaction. Lord, please, would you move our hearts to turn to you this Christmas, whether that's for the first time or the 91st. Lord, help us to find our satisfaction in you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.